Well, the last time that we spoke, which was actually not all that long ago, you were taking us on a musical tour of France, and now you've come back across the pond, as it were, and settled in Argentina for this wonderful new album, Music of Astor Piazzolla. It's called Celebrating Piazzolla, and I wonder if one of you wants to take the lead and just introduce us to the album, give us an idea of how this came to be.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we have loved the music of Piazzolla for as long as we've known about it. His Four Seasons. It's one of those. It's one of those pieces that we try to incorporate to as many programs as we can, and even kind of sneak in for an encore, because we've seen just so many times how audiences react to it. It literally gets people on their feet. It's just really exciting, and we just love it. So it was this really lucky, coming together, the stars aligning, however you want to put it. Things just all kind of came into place at the right time. Getting to work with Alan at Azika Records, he's someone who also has this real affinity for Piazzolla, and we were in talks about how could we bring his music to life for them. And then we got this invitation to work with Leo Suarez Paz. He's this really remarkable musician. He's kind of royalty in Argentina, in the musical world, in the tango world.
No.
Yeah, because his father actually was Piazzolla's original violinist. So Leo literally grew up with Piazzolla in person, real time, in the hall. So he was up close and personal and just has this music literally in his DNA. So we got to work with him. He arranged all the songs that you hear. Also, the last track on the album, Milonga de los Monsters, he actually, I'm sorry, that's his original composition. We got to work with him and kind of get this real, what felt like a real authentic window into the style and the world of Piazzolla. We had some coachings with him, and it was just fascinating, just kind of really... kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity to get to feel so kind of connected in such a visceral way to this music. And then Carla Jablonski, our fabulous mezzo soprano on this album, she's someone who I actually went to college with. We went to Manhattan School of Music together, and while she's absolutely, a brilliant, classically trained singer. She sings at the Met and does all kinds of wonderful things in the classical world. She's also equally comfortable, with pop and jazz and kind of blues and different kind of styles. So I had heard her sing a little of Yo Soy Maria, which actually also is on the album initially. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of just all came together, and we're really thrilled with the situation.
That's great. Well, there's a lot to unpack there. I want to go back and talk about some of the specific stuff that's related to the disc. I'm talking with the Neve Trio, Anna Williams, a violinist, Mikhail Veselov, the cellist, and Iri Nakamura, pianist. And this is your second studio album, right?
Third, actually, yeah.
Your third studio mm-hmm. album. What was the first one?
American Moments for the Shandos label.
Oh, okay. Okay, but I didn't talk with you about
that. That's right.
Yeah. We talked about the French
That's
moment.
That's right.
Yeah. And now we have Argentine moments, something like that. Right?
Celebrating Piazzolla, yep.
Yeah. So going back to the basics here, for people who don't know about Astor Piazzolla, I mean, he was somebody who was ever associated with the tango, but he brought the tango sort of out of the dance hall into the concert mm-hmm. hall, as it were. Can somebody talk a little bit about Piazzolla and his music?
Yeah, he was... Piazzolla is kind of a bridge between classical music and tango. And I think, as you pointed out, he brought sort of the tango from sort of the underground world and the milongas and rap bars and cafes in Argentina, and took it to a concert stage. And he himself was really heavily trained classically composed and was aspired to become a classical music composer. He studied with Nadia Boulanger in Paris, who was kind of a huge matriarch, kind of huge figure in classical music, and someone... Oh, it's like there's always somehow you can, from every composer in 20th century, you can draw a line to her somehow. So he was one of her students, and she hurt his tango arrangement, and she was like, this is what you should do, this is your, you know, authentic voice, that's really who you are. And with her sort of blessing and encouragement, he went into that genre, and he took his classical music training and sort of applied it to tango music, and really kind of enriched that world. And I think he's equally loved and hated in Argentina for because on one side he brought that tango to the world, and on the other side there, he sort of made it more of a sort of concert, as you point, a concert stage genre. And I think there's some you know, really sort of original Argentinian tango people who think it's somehow he took it out of the, you know, original place. But we'll have to thank Piazzolla for bringing tango to the world.
Yeah, and we also have a lot of great recordings of Piazzolla himself performing mm-hmm. the bandoneon. And in this case, I want to talk about the Four Seasons of Buenos Aires. That's a piece that a lot of people have heard before mm-hmm. because of its association with the Vivaldi Four Seasons. But this is a wonderful arrangement here for piano trio, and a lot of fun, witty kind of things going on. And y'all aren't just playing your instruments. You're sort of serving as percussionists and doing lots of little special effects as well. Can you tell us about the arrangement of this Four Seasons in Buenos Aires?
Well, I would say, you know, this specific arrangement is by Brigado, which is pretty widely used. It's a great arrangement, and we think kind of in part because it allows for so much kind of freedom and flexibility. So I know each time we've performed the piece and each time we would record a track, you know, it was never the same twice. So I think that kind of speaks to, you know, the arrangement. It's allowance for the sort of authentic Piazzolla spirit of improvisation. You mentioned his recordings that you can still hear and how free they are and how much improvisation he brings to it. So, you know, we definitely try to do that. And I mean, there's specific sort of percussive things that we've also experimented with, partially because our coachings with Leo kind of emboldened us a little bit to feel like we could. But I know, Ari, you had some really specific usages.
Yes, I was inspired by Leo's coaching, actually. He wrote in his song that I would use the fist at the bottom of the piano and play like four keys together and as an effect. Wow. And I did add that to the beginning of fall and it has a very fierce sound.
And then the percussive.
Oh yeah, in spring too, in the beginning, I tap the piano lid.
Ari's our drummer.
Yeah. I love being a percussionist as well, you know, as being a bassist in, you know.
Yeah.
I knew something was being drummed on. I wasn't sure if it was a piano or if it
was...
Yeah,
it was the stand part of the piano.
There's also that scratchy sound.
Yeah.
Is that from the violin bow, or
yeah,
how does that happen?
So that's the chachara, which you produce that by playing essentially on the wrong side of the bridge. So each string has sort of a thread wrapping on the end close to the tailpiece. So if you play on that, on the fabric, it creates that really hair-raising, not-so-pleasant sound.
Yeah.
But those are supposed to... those sounds, among other strokes that Leo sort of introduced us to, like latigo and tambor, those kind of extended techniques are meant to sort of bring you into the atmosphere of Buenos Aires. So those are supposed to be the insects in those cases.
Oh, okay. Well, I love also how winter opens. It sort of reminds me of a smoky jazz
band with
a string bass, string cello going on there.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, there's a lot of atmosphere involved in these pieces and wonderful performances, I must say.
Thanks. thanks.
Yeah. Now, have you been playing this for a long time, this particular work? Because it's a fairly well-known.
Yeah, the seasons we've been playing for, I would say, the entirety of our trio career. Mm-hmm. I mean, such great pieces, and sort of, you know, it bridges our world. It's really a crossover piece in a lot of ways, and I think we had such a great experience bringing it to the audiences everywhere, and people love it. People love this music, and you don't have to sell it in any way. It's just such a visceral response everybody has to that music. We literally had one of the concerts we played in California, where this little girl, she got up and started dancing. And as we played it, it was such a great experience.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
So, yeah, we love it. Yeah, we love this piece.
Well, I'm curious. You talk about working with Leo Suarez-Paz, who has that tremendous pedigree in Piazzolla's music. You know, before working with him and after working with him, how did your understanding of Piazzolla's music change? What would you learn from that experience?
I would say it changed a lot. I think you know, of course, we all loved his music and we had, you know, chance to hear Piazzolla's recordings. But having that, you know, how to do it kind of thing, I think that's allowed us to look at the Brogato arrangements as well and see that those things are implied, even though it's not necessarily written. Mm-hmm. You know, Piazzolla was all about rearranging the pieces and doing them different every time. He thought mm-hmm. that's what the life of music should be. It shouldn't be this the way it is and has to be this way forever. And he was encouraging people to arrange his music. And Leo sort of gave us that license, you know, freedom in the seasons as well. And there's something about, even if you listen to tango solos, you know, there's such a different freedom. You play around the beats. You don't have to arrive mm-hmm. at the same time all the time. It's a very specific kind of freedom. And Leo writes in his arrangements, and I think Brogato implies it often. So it gave us a lot of ideas and freedoms in the Brogato arrangements as well, working with Leo.
Yeah, and I think it also encouraged us to not always, you don't always have to sound nice. You can sound gutsy, you can sound sometimes harsh, but that it's for this larger purpose and to sort of evoke this overall feeling that you mentioned. There's so much atmosphere, like you alluded to. You know, I think also that Piazzolla was part of a larger band. Obviously, we're three people, but we're trying to sort of wear as many musical hats as we can, whether it's percussive or having little, you know, different effects or you know, sometimes Misha will, like, kind of walk the bass line. It's almost like a slap bass situation. And so to try to emulate that sort of bigness, for lack of a better term. And I think, yeah, I think working with Leo was really... It was obviously fascinating, and you know, you could feel like the presence of Piazzolla in some ways, because, you know, it's like 2 degrees of separation, something like that. But I'd say overall, yeah, it allowed us to try new things and to try to be sort of bigger than just the three of us, if that makes sense.
I notice on your recordings, there's always something that stands out for me as something that I wasn't familiar with before. And in this case, it would be these songs by Astor Piazzolla. Mm-hmm. Some wonderful songs here. And these are all arranged by Leo Suarez-Raz, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Were they arranged for you? Or
yeah.
Were they, okay.
Yeah, he arranged. We're very fortunate that he was willing and able to arrange these songs for us. So, yeah, they're the first time you should be hearing them is with us in Carla. So
in that configuration.
Yeah. Yeah, in this configuration. Yes, exactly. Right.
Yeah. So how were the songs selected? Who chose them?
We went through a process. You know, he would sort of suggest different ones. And then, of course, Carla, our wonderful singer, our wonderful mezzo on this album, she had some experience with Piazzolla. So, for instance, like, she really loved Yo Soy Maria, and that was kind of a no-brainer. And yeah, so it was sort of a group decision. It's such a embarrassment of riches in terms of you know, good options. So we were.
Yeah. I want to bring up attention to Oblivion, because it's probably one of the most known Piazzolla's pieces, and there's so many arrangements for, like, each instrument and combination of instruments. But I was so struck by the original form of it is actually in French, and it's for tango soprano, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's the way he uses language is just so incredible. So check that out. I think there's something about that.
Yeah.
Oblivion in French is really special. And Leonardo did such a wonderful job with it, obviously, too, with how he used instruments and effects and things.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, the album is called Celebrating Piazzolla, the new album from the Neve Trio from Azika Records. You can find out all about the Neve Trio at their website. That's NEAVETrio.com. Also at the Azika website, AZICA.com. Anna Williams, violinist, cellist Mikhail Veselov, and the pianist Ari Nakamura. Thanks so much for joining us here on FM 91.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
De Buenos Aires.